The Warriors have won 3 Western Conference titles and 2 NBA championships since he was named GM. He was an NCAA champion at UCLA. He is a San Quentin Hoops legend. We are joined by a very good friend of the program, Bob Myers. Bob, good morning. It is great to have you back. How are you?
Good, man. Let's just, next time we introduce me, just do the San Quentin part. Leave all the other stuff out.
You got it, Bob.
People, just say that, and that'll be a better intro.
Well, Bob, I don't know if it's going to be better, but you got to admit, at this point in your career, as well as you've done, that's pretty much what you're known for, right? Not the NCAA championship or anything else.
I was at a game, one of our games, and we had one of the inmates come from San Quentin who had been released, and I was talking to him, and I was kind of thinking inside, you know, I've told you before, people that have heard me, I grew up the farthest from San Quentin you could. I mean, I grew up in a suburban, mostly white community, so I never thought I'd get to know people in San Quentin prison, but I was kind of laughing to myself. The guy was like, oh, yeah, I met you in San Quentin. Who do you run into? Oh, yeah, I know you from San Quentin.
Wow.
So, no, man, it's I still got to get you in there. You have to go.
No, I know, Bob. In fact, let me ask you right now, before we talk about your team, I understand that you're on the mend following hip surgery recently. The legendary Raymond Ritter has officially listed you as questionable for that trip. How is the hip doing right now, and what's your status?
Well, Ritter's right. It's questionable. That's probably right around the time that I think I can get back. But that's the goal, Jim. That's what I've got up on my – you know, Rocky had his mirror, and he had a picture of what do you have, Mr. T up there?
Sure.
Whatever he had. I've got a San Quentin, you know, fence up there that I can look at, a barbed wire fence. But September, hopefully I'll be back by then. I love playing there. And even if I don't, I think I should be able to go. But you got to come either way. You got to come with me.
This might be the year, Bob. This might be the year. Yeah. I know you've invited me, and I know that if I don't show up sooner or later, it's going to be on me, and you're going to stop asking. So I know. I appreciate it. Keep me posted. Let's keep each other posted. All right, let me ask you about Steph Curry. He played one game since early March. He comes off the bench. Bobby scores 28 and 27 minutes in game 2. He made it look easy. Now, as a player yourself and somebody who does dominate the courts at San Quentin, how hard is it just to come right back, get into the flow, and light up a game the way he did on such a big stage?
It's impossible. I mean, I'm not saying that because he's on our team. I mean, you could ask people that play in the NBA, or I don't know how you do that. I guess if I had to explain it, I'd say he's that good at what he does in life. And sometimes God blesses us, or we show up in life with a certain talent. And then the best people cultivate that and work on that talent and hone it to a point where you can do something like he did. And I was sitting before the game, one of the guys I work with, and I said, you think he makes his first 3? Because I knew, I just figured his first shot would be a 3 because that's just what he does. And the guy looks at me, he goes, nah, man, he hasn't played 50 days. And I said, yeah. And I thought to myself, why would I think he would make his first? I mean, he's not going to make his first shot. I think he made his first 3. And they weren't, you know, regular. His 3s are different than the regular 3. It's like 3 feet behind the line with a guy in your face. But, yeah, I mean, a guy like that, those guys come along, and you've watched great athletes, Jim. You've covered kind of and spoke to and gotten to know the best. I think what the thing about Steph, that kind of being around him every day, that I try to acknowledge is these people are unique. They don't come along. They're somewhat generational. And so you just appreciate him. You appreciate him. You shake your head. You're glad he's with us. But it's good for the NBA, too. Just one of those guys. And you see him in different sports, but you just appreciate.
Bob Myers joins us. I agree, Bob. When he took that first 3, I mean, never mind making that first 3, but the way he took that first 3 and knocked it down, that to me was just a holy bleep moment. Like, damn, Steph, really? But that's what he does. You know, from where I'm sitting, and I'm sitting on the outside, but from where I'm sitting, it seems like this season may have been different from the ones that came before it because you've dealt with more injuries, you've dealt with more fatigue than in the past. Steve Kerr, Bob, who was a part of the Bulls three-peat, said that this year would be the toughest one. Has it been that? Has it been what he expected, or maybe even more challenging?
You're right. It has been the hardest because he played. I mean, we have got the probably most competent, capable guy in our coach because he lived it. He lived it with the Bulls. He saw the circus ride. He saw it for 3 years. He saw winning 2, and they won 2. They won 3 in a row. But he had, you know, Michael Jordan, who's just one of these guys that just refused to lose guys with that temperament he had. But Steve said, this is going to be the choppiest. And you kind of sit there when you hear that before the season, and part of you thinks, well, why would you say that? We just went 16-1 in the playoffs. We got most of the same team back. But then you think of the human nature of this whole thing. And I asked Draymond, who I'm sure you've had on the other day.
Yep.
This was before our game on Tuesday. And I said, hey, man, I said, so when I'm watching you guys play, and you probably saw us limping into the postseason. We were playing awful, Jim, the last month of the season. And I said, how am I supposed to know if you guys are trying or not? Mm. And I said, Draymond, I don't play. I don't know if you played 50% or Andre was playing 75 or Kevin, because I'm not out there, and I can't gauge your effort. And he said to me, he looked at me, he goes, you know who I am. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I got to have something on the line. And I said, okay. And he said, if the game doesn't mean anything, and we played probably our last 3 weeks of basketball as the two seed, and beyond the game meaning what it meant from a pride standpoint, Jim, for our team, it didn't mean anything. We weren't going to drop to a 3 seed. We weren't going to be a 1 seed. So our players are out there playing. And Draymond's the type of guy, you know, when you go to Vegas with guys, and there's certain guys, they got to play. Draymond's got to play at the $5,000 table. He can't play at the $25 table. He cannot do it. I mean, he's not one of those guys. He's bad in exhibition games. He's not a good all-star game guy. But in the playoffs, and I just read an article, what he does in the playoffs is much better than what he does in the regular season. And we've got guys like Iguodala that are capable of that. Obviously, Durant is well-known to do that. So, yeah, I mean, I was sitting there thinking, who's going to show up in the playoffs? Fortunately, they've been great. And it wasn't that I thought they wouldn't show up then, but, you know, the way we were playing, you never know, right? I mean, we're taught, you're successful because of the habits you bring every day. And that's what we're taught. But at a certain level with these guys, they, especially ones that have done it, they're able to gauge, okay, I'm waiting for my moment, I'm waiting, and now it's here. And they know they can flip that switch. But as a GM, it's kind of scary sometimes because you don't really know.
God, that's fascinating, Bob. That is so good. Because I was going to say, I don't want to be disrespectful of the regular season. And I know you wouldn't either. But in the fourth year of the run, I mean, it's got to be really hard to find meaning in a regular season game for these guys, right? How do they do it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I went up to Iguodala specifically after the last game, Jim, and I basically said, I've never seen someone disrespect the regular season like you do. And he kind of started laughing.
Wow.
And he looked at me. And these guys, here's the response, though, Jim. Let's say somebody said something to you, and you were in this business as a player or something, and you've done it before. And somebody challenged you, and you looked at him and said, who are you to question? You're like, do you not know who I am? It's almost like you know, a swimmer or a sprinter that's running the qualifying heats, and they're just running the qualifying. They know they got to be in the top three, and they finish third, and they go, good, I'm in the main race. And you go, well, you didn't win in your heats. And the guy goes, why would I care about winning the heats? I don't get a medal for winning the heat. When the real race comes on, I'll win that race. So these guys kind of look at you and push back a little bit. But you're right, there's a human nature to it that only the athlete can understand. And for me to question our guys, they're right, because – Steve got frustrated at the end of the year, and he challenged our team after we lost to Indiana, and he said something like, you know, we didn't play hard and this and that. And I said, Steve, we always have to remember, and he agreed, we cannot question the character of these guys because they've done it. And until they haven't done it, we got to kind of let them do it the way they want to do it. But that's the challenge, Jim. That's the nuance that the business we're in. It's almost like, how do you gauge that? How do you navigate that? And I think we're trying to figure that out the best we can.
Bob Myers, my guest. It's fascinating, Bob. I mean, to that point, I know why you would have concerns. I know why Steve Kerr would have concerns. But the players, fact of the matter is, you guys have won 22 of your last 24 playoff games. Until they give you evidence of otherwise, I could see where the players would feel that way. Let me ask you this. One of the things that you said is that when you won that first title, you received hundreds of text messages. And then when you lost in Game 7, you received, well, roughly two. And, Bob, I've had one successful coach or executive on after another say that at a certain point, losing is misery and winning is no longer a joy. It's just a relief from that misery. You've always been kind of a different guy, so let me ask you the question. Is it how it feels to you, or can you still find joy in every single win?
I'm trying, man. You know, you have to, Jim, because otherwise what are we doing? And I can empathize, or I can relate to the people that say that, because that's inside every GM is that feeling. But you have to almost fight against it. And so when we lost in Game 7, to Cleveland at home, you're right. I mean, you don't get – if you're doing it for text messages or pats on the back and trophies and shiny things, that's fine. But it has to be about more than that. And I remember one of my most favorite days in this business was the day after we lost Game 7, was probably the next 14 hours later. We lost to the Cavs. We saw them celebrate on our home floor. We were up 3-1. Everybody knows what happened. We had the best record in the history of the league in the regular season. So we're here now, and we've lost. And I'm sitting there, and I got when you lose or you win, at the end of every team season, at least in the NBA, you have exit interviews where the general manager or the coach, you do it sometimes together, sometimes separate, meet with your players. And you kind of do a debriefing on the season, and you look at the guy and just say, so that close.
I'm losing you, Bob.
Game seven. Jim, you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. That close to winning, when you play in a game seven of the NBA Finals, I was driving to the game thinking, it's like the Dodgers and Astros. There's too much to... That outcome of that game is really everything for people. I mean, the difference between winning a championship and winning a game seven and losing is everything. So we lose. So the next day I'm sitting there at the exit interviews across from our players, and I've never been prouder. And you look at a guy, and you remember Draymond got suspended for game five. So I was sitting there waiting for someone on our team to say, like Steph or Clay or somebody said, well, Draymond hadn't got suspended. Or, you know, if Steph would have made a couple more shots or if Clay could have made some shots, what I saw was all our players, Jim, they looked at me individually, and I asked Steph, what do you think happened? He says, I got to be better. I wasn't good enough. And then Draymond looked at me in his moment of his interview and said, I'll tell you one thing, I'm never going to feel this feeling again. This will never happen again. So pride of going to work with people like that, that's when you learn more about people as an adversity than when success comes. When success comes, you're great. Everybody loves you. Everybody gets along. But in adversity, in the times in your life where things have been difficult or something happens to you or your family, it's not good, or you get fired, or you get in trouble. That's when, you know, you might get four text messages, but those are the four most important people. Because when you win your awards and you get celebrated, all the acquaintances, all the people are wanting to touch you and say, hey, you know, great job. But when you're not doing well, that's when you find out more. And when we lost, I found out more about our team than when we won. And I really liked what I saw. And so you can find a lot. It's not just misery. It's the best time to evaluate who you're going to work with.
Bob Myers, Golden State Warriors, president of basketball ops, general manager, most of all, a San Quentin Hoops legend. Bob, it is so good to have you back. I appreciate that conversation. Every time we have it, but especially this time of year, you are the best. Glad you're on the mend. I know you're going to fire out and play hurt, get it done, and it's great to have you back, Bob. I appreciate it very much.
Jim, any game you want, let me know. If we keep playing here, come to a game.
You got it, Bob.
Appreciate you so much, Bob.
You're the best. Absolutely the best. Bob Myers, what a great conversation that is. Every single time, too. My thanks to Bob Myers. My thanks to Raymond Ritter, a Hall of Famer. The best there has ever been, not only at his job, but maybe the best anybody's ever been at any job. Raymond Ritter. I have never seen an organization like that in any sport. Golden State really is the gold standard in terms of culture, process, who they hire, the way they do it, who they have, top to bottom, on the floor, off the floor. They're amazing. And it's not a surprise to me that they're having the success they've had and continue to have. What an amazing conversation that was, too, that part about the regular season where Bob Myers says to his guys, how do I know? How do I know? How do I know you're ready? How do I know you're going to be ready when the postseason starts? And almost to a man, they're like, what, are you kidding? Who are you talking to? Are we really having this conversation? How do you know? You know who the hell I am? And the fact is, they've won 22 of their last 24 playoff games. So until they give them another reason, you really can't question them. When we return, we go back to back. Christian Kirk, Arizona Cardinals wide receiver, joins us. And of course, I'll take your reaction to Bob Myers. My thanks to Bob, Ray Ritter, et al.